Danny Major was a police officer. He fell victim to what appears to be a cover-up by West Yorkshire Police in the north of England. He was convicted of violently assaulting a man in a police cell, despite a suspicious amount of missing evidence. Over time, more and more facts have emerged that contradict his accuser's stories, yet Danny still struggles to clear his name.
It's not coincidence, it's not mistake, it's a planned and criminal conspiracy.
We've got to feel safe, and I can take a corrupt police officer, no problem. I cannot take the fact that the organisation, which we call the police force, is corrupt. I can't stomach that at all.
In 50 years' time, if people were to put my name into a search engine, all this is going to come up. It's not something that I'm readily going to be able to put behind me, even when I do clear my name.
Britain has been rocked by scandal upon scandal from its police force. The organisation has been repeatedly found wanting when it comes to stamping out corrupt and criminal behaviour in its ranks. My name is Michael Doherty. I'm a civil liberties campaigner and founder of Justice Now. I seek to bring about fundamental change to the systems of police accountability in the UK. Danny Major was a police officer. He fell victim to what appears to be a cover-up by West Yorkshire Police in the north of England. He was convicted of violently assaulting a man in a police cell, despite a suspicious amount of missing evidence. Over time, more and more facts have emerged that contradict his accuser's stories, yet Danny still struggles to clear his name. But his parents stand by him in his fight.
It's not coincidence, it's not mistake, it's a planned and criminal conspiracy. And the course of justice has been perverted because the wrong man was sent to prison.
We've got to feel safe, and I can take a corrupt police officer, no problem. I cannot take the fact that the organisation, which we call the police force, is corrupt. I can't stomach that at all.
Danny's father spent 31 years in the police force, giving his all to uphold the law, even sustaining some serious injuries during his career. This did not dissuade Danny, though, and after finishing university, he decided to join West Yorkshire Police.
How did you feel when you got accepted to be joining the police?
Quite proud to be able to do something that my dad had done. Thought it was a noble job to do. It was working within the community in which I lived, and it was going to be something that I'd be able to make a career of.
Danny proved himself to be a capable officer and received a special commendation for arresting a drug dealer whilst off duty, though he felt it was simply part of the job of being an officer. At this stage in his career, Danny had never witnessed corruption or serious misconduct amongst his fellow officers. This made what happened next all the more shocking for him. Danny took me to see the locations that would change his life forever and end his career. In September 2003, he would find a young man here, too drunk to look after himself.
Could you please describe how you first came across him and then what transpired?
Yeah, first came across Rimmington a little earlier on in the evening, over by the entrance at the far side there. That's when we found him drunk and directed him inside with the police community support officers. Later on in the evening was where he went into the help desk, which is just behind me over my left shoulder, and that's later on where Rimmington was arrested, and also where I was assaulted, and then he was removed and placed in the rear of a police van, which was situated just behind me, roughly where the Mondeo is now.
During the course of that arrest, you were assaulted by Mr. Rimmington. Could you please explain in a little more detail what actually happened there?
Yeah, of course. When I first placed a handcuff on Mr. Rimmington to inform him he was under arrest, he punched me in the face repeatedly, and then he struggled very violently and was subsequently arrested with the assistance of several other officers.
This is the point at which Danny's account of events begins to differ from that of other police officers who were present that night. This is where the first of three allegations of assault comes in. Allegation 1, made by PC David Allroyd. After getting Sean Rimmington into the back of the police van, Danny Major kicked him in the ribs multiple times with enough force to shake the van. This allegation was made by a fellow officer and not by Mr. Rimmington himself.
I was later acquitted of that charge on the basis of several bits of information. The forensic doctor said that it was impossible for what Allred alleged to have happened. Also, one of the other officers that was there confirmed that Peace Allred wasn't actually there at the time and in fact already returned to the police station.
The one policeman who was still around at this point was PC Kevin Liston, the source of the other two allegations made against Danny. Once Rimmington had been arrested, they had to transport him to a holding cell. Danny and PC Liston drove Sean Rimmington in the van from the Milgarth police station to the Bridewell, where the police custody cells are in the city of Leeds. This is where Danny was alleged to have committed two further assaults against Sean Rimmington. Allegation 2, made by PC Kevin Liston. When removing Sean Rimmington from the back of the police van, Danny Major assaulted Mr. Rimmington, kneeing him in the face and punching him repeatedly.
Down here is where you drove your van in to bring Mr. Rimmington out of the vehicle, yeah?
Drove the van through into where there's the van at the moment and parked on the left-hand side to keep it clear. There were two other vehicles already in there and removed Rimmington from the van. He was resisting being removed from the van, and eventually when he gave up resisting, he popped out with some force and we both fell out backwards and landed on the bonnet of a Mercedes Sprinter van that were parked there by other officers.
But PC Liston gave a different account of events and said that there was an assault at this time.
That's right. PC Liston said that we'd parked on the right-hand side, that the van dock was completely empty, and that upon removing Rimmington from the van, I speared him into the concrete floor from the back of the van and then set about to knee Rimmington in the head and then to punch him approximately 5 times.
Dealing with drunk and violent people is not at all unusual for a British police officer. But because Rimmington was violent, this was a particularly difficult arrest to make. Danny opted to take him directly to a cell rather than taking his details at the front desk. Allegation 3, made by PC Kevin Liston. Danny Major assaulted Sean Rimmington in a police cell while performing a search. This caused Sean Rimmington to bleed profusely. Danny tells a different story.
Whilst I was searching Rimmington, getting his valuables, taking the drawstring out of his trousers, taking his shoes, I then was trying to take off, the last thing I was trying to do was take off his handcuffs. And at that stage, Rimmington decided to roll onto his front, which, had he been able to roll completely onto his front, would have had me, I'd been thrown over the top of him, and I'd have been biting in the area where he'd been able to bite me. Because although he was handcuffed to the rear, he had already tried to bite me before. So at that stage, I then had to apply some bottom fist strikes to the upper left of his arm to try and stop him rolling over. That worked, then removed the cuffs and exited the cell, and then took his property to the help desk to book him in.
Once again, Danny's account tells of a struggle, whilst the allegations paint the picture of a violent assault.
Shortly thereafter, you left this detention centre. You were sent to the hospital because you had received injuries, bruising and a cut lip in relation to the earlier assault. Is that that's right?
Yeah, I had a cut lip, a bruising to my eye and some swelling, and I was sick as a result of the head injury. Yeah.
It was not until the following morning that allegations were made against Danny. He was not told about these accusations until several days later, when he was suspended from duty. He would not find out exactly what he was accused of for another month.
I was only made fully aware of the allegation in October, towards the end of October, when I was actually interviewed. So when I'd initially been suspended, I wasn't particularly worried. I thought, well, allegations are made all the time. A few weeks before, one of my supervisors had had a similar allegation made against him, and I'd happened to been able to seize the videotape, and straight away it was of the van dock at the Leeds Bridewell. The video clearly showed that the person that had made the complaint was lying, and that tape was seized, and Professional Standards did a brief investigation and cleared the officer. So I wasn't particularly worried, because I knew everywhere that was covered in the allegation, apart from the inside of the cell, was covered by CCTV, so I'd be able to show that what I'd said was true and not anything. It was only when I got to interview that I was expecting to see lots and lots of CCTV video showing that my point of view was correct, that alarm bells started to go off because a lot of tapes were missing or weren't recording the right part. And then that's when it started to feel as though something's going wrong here. This is getting where the investigating officer is he's made his mind up about the case. He's not going to investigate any alternatives, bar he thinks I'm guilty, so he's going to prove it.
It took 3 years from the initial allegation for Danny to go through the trial process. There were three trials, and after the third trial, Danny was eventually convicted. The jury returned a unanimous not guilty verdict for the first allegation.
But he was subsequently convicted by the jury of the other further two charges of the assault in the Van Dock area and the assault in the police cell area.
The only witness to allegations 2 and 3 was Danny's accuser, PC Kevin Liston. Any piece of evidence that could contradict PC Liston would jeopardise his credibility and cause both of his allegations against Danny to be disregarded. Unfortunately, no one else had seen what happened that night. Or had they? What about the machines? What did they see?
There's obviously a key piece of evidence which was not taken in part of this investigation, which is a CCTV camera just up there.
That's right, yeah.
That's obviously pointing down into this dock area. Mm-hmm. Do you know any reason why that CCTV was never seized?
Well, as you can see from now, you can see quite clearly through the van area. If the van had been parked where Liston said it was, any assault would have been readily apparent from the camera behind. Just here.
So it wasn't a question that they seized his tape, so they didn't show anything, they just didn't seize the tape.
They deny the fact that they've got access to it, and they also deny the fact that it was recorded. But it just so happens that I seized that tape a few weeks previously in an unrelated inquiry. In total, the police said that 5 cameras were recording at the night in question, but that only 2 were recording.
Whilst there are no CCTV cameras in the individual cells, and hence no recording that would either disprove or show the alleged assault in the cell, there are cameras in the corridors that would show the comings and goings of officers and detainees from the cell area. Danny's mum found it difficult to explain the camera situation to family members.
This is a model that we had to make because family members couldn't understand out where the cameras were in the bridewell. So we made this 3D model so that we could explain, and immediately people understood it. That's the cock desk. That's where Danny went down to the cells. This is the charge desk. This camera actually does work. This one we was told never worked. And these two cameras do work, and it shows the entrance to the cells there, and that one shows the entrance to the cells there. So you can see who goes up and down those corridors at any one time.
There was a litany of excuses given by the police when it came to gathering this evidence for the trial. Some of this footage would emerge later, but too late to keep Danny from being convicted. Prisoners in the cells of the Bridewell can press an intercom button to request assistance from the police, but records of this system use were said to have been irretrievably corrupted. This is more evidence lost that could have been used to back up the victim's story. Sean Rimmington told the paramedics that were called to check on his injuries a very different story to the one that Kevin Liston would give, one that doesn't implicate Danny.
He said that he'd awoken in a police cell, got up to ask for a glass of water and pressed the buzzer in the cell, and that he'd then, 2 people had come to the cell and assaulted him. And I believe that at the time he actually indicated, because there were several officers there when the paramedics were there, and he actually used the words, these bastards did this to me.
I also understand that I believe it's the hospital doctor, Dr. Godden, also confirmed that Rimmington told her on arrival to the hospital that he was punched in the face by 2 men. Is that
correct? That's right, yeah. Yeah, so it's not just his first allegation. He has gone on to repeat that allegation, and it's still never been investigated by the police. But the bizarre thing is that me as a defendant, there was nothing conflicting in my account and the complainant's account, which is not something I would have ever expected to see somebody convicted when both the victim and the defendant are giving the same account, which excludes the defendant.
In addition to all of this, further evidence emerged after Danny had been convicted. Evidence that must have been collected at the time of the allegations but was never mentioned during Danny's trials.
The forensic evidence from PC Liston's clothing we didn't know about at all. We were under the impression that it had never been seized. There were no records of it ever having been seized, and it was only quite recently that not only did we find out it had been seized, but when it was tested, we came back with the damning evidence that it had Remington's blood and saliva on it, but that wasn't available at trial.
And that they knew that prior to the third trial? The police knew that this existed?
They must have done, because they had seized it. Yeah. They'd seized it, even though the records don't even show when it was seized. Now, for there to be blood and saliva, there's been extremely close contact, and the forensic expert, Samantha Warner-Kula-Soraya, has said that that has happened at the point of bleed. Now, for the only way I can judge for that to have happened, is it, and it to be under his arm as well, is that he's been in close contact in some sort of struggle with Remington whilst he's been bleeding, and he's then had him in a headlock, none of which is covered by Liston's account.
Even more damning evidence against Liston's character would later emerge, things that were hushed up during Danny's trials.
Since the trial, it's become apparent that Kevin Liston has a drug problem. He's been investigated for attempting to supply Class A drugs to other police officers who've reported him to professional standards, and nothing's been done. There are several assaults of which he's been implicated in, no prosecutions ever materialised from. There have been disappearances of property linked to him, and sexual assault as well, which seems to have all disappeared. He's had probably 10 years service, 9 years of which he's been quite apparently committing criminal offences that have been covered up by West Yorkshire Police professional standards, because he was a witness in the case against me. This year he was given the option to resign or face prosecution, and that has been confirmed by the chief executive of West Yorkshire Police.
But it wasn't Liston who wound up going to prison. It was Danny, a traumatic experience for a man of the law who wound up fighting against his own organisation.
What was it like for you, a still serving police officer, sentenced to 15 months in jail? What was it like for you actually going to jail?
Extremely traumatic. It wasn't helped by the fact that the Yorkshire Post published my photograph from when I'd received a commendation on the front cover of the paper, that would went wide, with the Yorkshire Post goes out to all the prisons in the north of England. So straight away I was then put in the prison system with every prison wing in the north of England would have had my picture on. When I was transferred out of the area to Preston, I wasn't recognisable from the photographs, and I went into an open prison, but it was still very, very traumatic experience, and it was several years after before I was able to really talk about it properly.
Kevin Liston was not the only villain of this piece, though. He could not have covered up these events by himself. The officer who investigated this case, Detective Inspector Green, should have quickly got to the bottom of the lies and dismissed these allegations. Danny's father, who himself had a lengthy career in the police force, believes Green knows full well that Liston was lying.
Now, whether he's gone and said, look, I've got CCTV, these witnesses are lying to me, he's got to have known. He's got to have known that they're lying. He's gone to somebody, he's got a superior. What's been said then, we can only surmise, because it's been complete shutdown from that point. They haven't gone the way of the truth. They've not even pursued what the complainant himself has said. They've ignored that totally. And if they'd have pursued that, your accuser is one of the main suspects.
Although Green had no involvement in any of the assaults, he may well bear the most blame for Danny being sent to prison. Green was criticised heavily by the judge at the trial for his seemingly incompetent attitude, whereas a cynical eye might see something other than just incompetence in Green's actions.
It's not just one officer, it's about five or six different officers have all given the same background story that fits in with each other. And when a videotape shows that's all a lie, well, that can't be done by accident. You can't go through three trials, well, two trials proper, and give evidence and you back your mate up, and there's a video flying around in the background which shows it's all lies. It's not coincidence. It's not mistake. It's a planned and criminal conspiracy. And the course of justice has been perverted because the wrong man was sent to prison.
What the CCTV did uncover at Danny's trial was that the staff in the Bridewell were not fulfilling their duties. The videos revealed that they had lied in their logbook about performing checks on prisoners. Failing to do these checks and record them accurately is a clear breach of the law and a dereliction of duty. The judge at Danny's trial expressed a view about these findings and how the police should respond.
He said that the station was not fit for purpose and that it was staffed by unorganised, unsupervised rabble. He wanted to see a full investigation with more officers held accountable.
But this fell on deaf ears. No substantial changes have been made, and no one has faced punishment. The words of a judge on the front page of a newspaper, and still West Yorkshire Police carry on as normal.
So what's the real story here? What does Danny believe happened to Sean Rimmington that night in the cell?
It appears from the CCTV that Kevin Liston has been looking for his spectacles and believes that they're in the cell. So at some stage he disappears down the cell corridor, enters the cell looking for his spectacles, and it appears that he has then assaulted him. That would match the forensic evidence. It would also match Sean Rimmington's explanation. I then believe that it was Liston's intention, along with Adele Neal, to allow Rimmington to be found in the police cell, injured, so that they wouldn't be blamed.
Do you think that part of the reason that you became the focus of what you believe to be a malicious prosecution was to cover up this shambles and to cover up this fictitious records made in the custody suite?
I think it all started out because they were attempting to... Liston, Allride and Neil were attempting to cover up a more serious... what they believed to be a more serious incident where they thought a man may potentially prove to die. It then became in the police interest to secure the public confidence that the public didn't find out about the shambolic processes that were happening in the Bridewell. Leeds custody area is the largest cell area in West Yorkshire, and had they looked at that tape properly and done a correct investigation, they'd have been had to start cases against two custody sergeants and pretty much the entire custody team for not doing the job properly, and I believe that would have led to a temporary close down of the Leeds cell area. Yeah. And which is not something that West Yorkshire Police would have been able to afford the effect it would have had on public confidence. Mm-hmm.
Danny has been convicted, served his time in prison and lost his job in the police, but his struggle to clear his name continues. He has launched one unsuccessful appeal that was poorly argued by his lawyer and has sought a new investigation into the case. Danny's battle to recover his reputation will continue onwards and will not get any easier despite the clearly mounting evidence that makes his account of events look ever more true and his accusers' accounts ever more ludicrous. The personal cost has been high in money, time and effort for his whole family.
This has been incredibly stressful for all my family. For many years now, this case is what we've lived and breathed. And the primary importance is for my family to clear my name, and we will not rest until that goal is achieved.
Well, it's impacted on every aspect of his life. My son went to university and got a decent career. He's a good, honest man. Proud of him. Affected his sister, his niece, his nephew. We'll never ever give up. It's never been a question of giving up, ever. It's not a question of money, it's not a question of anything like that. As Danny said, it's his reputation. He's got a child coming, and in generations to come I want people to look back and realise it were a miscarriage of justice. It wasn't a thug, it was framed by West Yorkshire Police. We've got to feel safe, and I can take a corrupt police officer, no problem. I cannot take the fact that the organisation which we call the police force is corrupt. I can't stomach that at all.
In the future, if your son, daughter grows up, would you ever encourage them to join the police?
No. I would encourage them to do everything but join the police. It's an absolute nest of vipers, and I would not want... it would be the furthest thing from my mind for them to join the police. I would not recommend joining West Yorkshire Police to my worst enemy.
If the police are willing to use and discredit a promising officer with strong family ties to the force whilst protecting an officer who is allegedly corrupt, all to defend their own image, how can we trust them? Organisations as powerful as the police must have integrity, because as Danny Major knows all too well, it's nearly impossible to fight them.
This will be something that will follow me around for the rest of my life, even if I clear my name. In 50 years' time, if people were to put my name into a search engine, all this is going to come up. It's not something that I'm readily going to be able to put behind me, even when I do clear my name.